Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible tells us about God and His purposes. Not everything is crystal clear, though. There are mysteries we will not understand in this life. To help us comprehend God as best we can, stay tuned for a compelling series on the mysteries of God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a series on the mysteries of God, a God who had no beginning and no ending. Now, join us for the eternality of God.
The mysteries of God. I'm sure that you understand that I feel very inadequate to be able to preach these messages, but I do so because God has revealed Himself. And we should probe God to the extent that we can as human beings. Zophar, in the book of Job, asked this question, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty?" And the answer, of course, is no, you can't. But I believe that God is honored if we try. What do we expect as a result of this series of messages? First of all, that we will be better worshipers, that we will be so overcome by God's greatness and beauty that we'll lay down the weapons of a rebel and we'll say, if that's who God is, I submit. Because there's no use giving Him opposition. He is God, and I'm not. There's a second thing we hope to accomplish, and that is that we have greater faith. Have you ever noticed that God does not make it easy to believe? Did you notice, for example, and I'm sure you heard on the news, how a tornado came and a couple, a mother and father, protected their little 18-month-old girl, the little toddler, and shielded her. But the house fell on the parents, they died, the toddler lived. God can wipe out 8,000 people in Nepal or nearly 250,000 with a tsunami. It's not easy to believe in His goodness. We're going to have to probe those kinds of mysteries, and I can tell you in advance, it's not that I expect that I'm going to give you an answer that is entirely satisfying, but at least we have to grapple with those kinds of questions. So you see, what we want to do is to ultimately increase our faith. And I'll also share with you what to do when the mysteries become too great. Where do we flee? That'll be in a future message, I'm sure. Also, what we want to do is transform lives. We want more volunteers and more helpers at the Moody Church. My staff was a little concerned. They thought that this would be so philosophical, so theological, as if it wouldn't touch human life. I expect, as a result of this, a great surge of people involved in the ministry here. Some of those reasons will even become clear today. The passage of Scripture is the 90th Psalm, and you really do need to see it. Now, I know that you've brought your iPhones, and that's better than if you didn't. That is to say, if you use it to find Psalm 90. But you know, there is also a Bible in the seat in front of you, and it might be around page 496. That's what it is in my Bible. You have to see the text. Moses wrote this, which means that it is centuries older than the time of David. Normally we think, well, David wrote all the Psalms. Well, not all of them. Moses wrote this one. And furthermore, he wrote it at a time probably when Israel was condemned in the desert to wander for 40 years. It's a plaintive psalm. In it, he mourns a lot. In it, he is overcome by the futility of life. But it's also a psalm that gives hope. But the question is, what is life all about? Why should I live and not die? Some of you may be asking that question. You're going to find an answer today. Aren't you glad you came? Aren't you glad you're listening? So Moses writes it, and what I want to do, first of all, and I have to confess that the first 10 or 15 minutes, of this message, we're going to jump into the deep end of the swimming pool. But I'm absolutely convinced that you can follow if you ask God to grant you the ability to concentrate, because I want you to be grasped by God. First fact is simply this, that God exists from all eternity. Your Bibles are open, Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you ever formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. First fact about God is that God never had a beginning. God is indeed eternal. You know, sometimes atheists, they like to ask questions like this. I think Dawkins did. Who made God? They asked the Christians. And if you don't have an answer to that, I don't have to believe on him. Well, let's just take a deep breath, okay? Can we all agree that out of nothing, nothing comes? I mean, if there were just absolutely nothing in the world or in the whole universe, there wouldn't be a universe and there would be nothing, because out of nothing, nothing comes. Well, think about it. In light of the fact that something exists, that must mean that something has existed forever. Now, the atheists say, well, it's the cosmos, it's the universe, it existed forever. Carl Sagan, in his book Cosmos, begins it with the words, there has only been, the cosmos is all that there is and all that there ever will be. That's the opening line. But I mean, it's unscientific to say that, because the universe does not contain within itself an answer to its own existence. For example, scientists say that it's actually running down because of entropy, and therefore somebody wound it up. Somebody very intelligent and very powerful, at least, got it going. So to the answer to the question of God's eternality, we as Christians believe that God is the uncaused God who created all things. He is the uncaused God who caused everything that exists. And he always existed. He always existed. Now think about that. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now let me give you this. If you begin with the premise that God exists, as he's revealed in the Bible, you finally have an explanation for all kinds of things, reality as we know it. If you don't, I can assure you, and I don't have time to show it, but I can assure you, you will come to a dead end very quickly. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of the fact that God is uncaused. Here he is, this being that permeates the universe, and he didn't have a cause. What I want you to do this week is to take out an hour for God. Is that too much to ask? Why don't you unplug your computer, turn off the television set, give your iPad to somebody and ask them to hide it in a place where you can't find it, and then leave your iPhone in the car, and take the kids and drop them off at grandma's and say, God, this hour is for you. And I'm going to spend the first 20 minutes contemplating the fact that you did not have a beginning. You and I owe that to God, at least. Can you get your mind around that? No beginning? From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Second fact I want you to notice is that God created all that is. He created all that is. Before the mountains were brought forth, and you ever formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, speaking about Jesus, for by him were all things created, both which are on earth and which are in heaven, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or principalities or powers, all things created by him and for him. It's a crucial phrase, by him and for him. And to think that God did that out of nothing. Now, I told you that out of nothing, nothing can arise, but since God existed, he could take nothing and create something. In fact, when he spoke, he created so many billions of stars. They say that there are as many of those as sands on the seashores of the world. And he did it, the Latin is ex nihilo, that is to say, out of nothing. He just spoke, and suddenly they were all there in all their brilliance and beauty, and the sun and the moon. I mean, imagine God doing that. There is a story about a scientist who said to God, God, I can do the same things that you do. I can take a handful of dirt and I can create life. God said, really? Show me. So the guy reaches down and he takes a handful of dirt, and God says, get your own dirt. If you want to prove that you're as good as God, go into a laboratory and spend an afternoon taking nothing and creating something and see how it goes. You might need the next day. I'm smiling because there's no way for us to know. Now, that would take another 20 minutes of your hour. And then there's a third fact about God. Remember these points now. First of all, he is uncaused. He is eternal. He's always existed. Secondly, he created all things. And third, notice that he exists outside of time. Now, he comes into time, but he exists outside of time. How do we know that God exists outside of time? It is because time is the record of change. Time is the record of change. So what that means is that as long as God existed before creation, I am the Lord and I change not, there was no change, and therefore there was just an eternal now.
Well, that's difficult to grasp, isn't it? But we are dealing with a God that we do not fully understand. The more I think about the attributes of God and his greatness and his eternity, and the fact that there's a sense in which he does exist outside of time, I personally reach the limits of my ability to think and to comprehend. But it's wonderful to know that we do not fully understand the God who has redeemed us, but we do know him. Jesus made that abundantly clear that we know the Father. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to be able to be on a cruise that begins in Switzerland, goes up the Rhine River? God willing, this coming fall in October, I'm going to be the teacher on a cruise, and we'll be discussing such things as World War II, Adolf Hitler, all of the lessons we can learn from Nazi Germany. I'll also be lecturing on Martin Luther and the Reformation. You might be able to join us. I hope that that's a possibility. Here's what you do. You go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org, and click on the tour button, and there you'll find all the information you need. Together, we would have a time of fellowship and learning, even as we think about the importance of history.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Eternality of God, the first in an 8-part series on the mysteries of God. Next time, Moses praises the God who always was. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.